Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
For the week, new every Thursday, podcast1.com and iTunes. Thanks to, of course, my good buddy Mark Slaughter for the kick-ass opening theme music. Thanks to Katie Irizarry. She is the producer of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Thank you for listening, downloading, streaming, however you listen each and every week. Thank you very much for doing so. Don't forget, I've got an Amazon storefront now. Amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Go there. See items I have personally selected that may be of interest to you, and then do the rest of your Amazon shopping from that page. Again, Amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk, the all-new Eddie Trunk store on Amazon. Always start your Amazon shopping on that page and go from there, and it would be greatly appreciated if you do that. So here we go with, the holiday. The Labor Day holiday now, just coming up in a few days, the unofficial end of summer, the start of football season looming, which makes me extremely happy about my upcoming New York Football Giants season. As a massive Giants fan, I'm even going to the opener in Dallas. Thanks to my good buddy Doug Burgess for the hookup on the ticket. Went with him last year. He's a Cowboys fan, but he's a good guy and nice enough to offer me a ticket. So I'm going to be in the building on opening day in Dallas in enemy territory, rooting on my Giants. Cannot wait for that. Excited about football season. As you guys hear this, I'm in Vegas, my favorite city. Headed there with the wife for a couple days, getting a little bit of a break before things get really nuts for me towards the end of the year. As I mentioned, I have this TV project, which has not been officially announced yet, but I am shooting episodes of it at various music festivals. I'm going to be out at some of those coming up soon. Things that I can tell you about, public festivals that I will be a part of, include September 16th in Irisburg, Vermont, and that is called Shrinedom, a benefit for the Shriners, and that is going to be featuring Vince Neil and Slaughter, who have been added to the bill recently, along with Warrant, Lita Ford, Firehouse, and many more. Look forward to seeing you there in Vermont. I will be on fumes at that thing because they just found out I have to fly from New Jersey to San Diego to do a TV shoot at this festival called Kaboo. And then overnight from San Diego to Vermont on connecting flights and then go host a festival. Woo! My gosh, it's going to be a rough one. But we'll see, man. Rock and roll, right? Got to keep plowing through. So I'll see you there for that if you happen to be in the area. Also, don't forget the DO Cancer Fund, the bowling event. What's the name of it? There's a name. It's Bowl for Ronnie, I believe. And that's happening at Pins in Studio City on October 6th. I host that every year. I'm putting together my bowling team, which is going to include my buddies John Five. I think I got Doug Aldridge on board this year. So that'll be a blast. And we're going to be auctioning off a spot on my bowling team to raise money for the DO Cancer Fund. So keep an eye on my social media. I'll let you know how you can bid on that. But it is open to the public. There is an admission. All the money we raise is, again, for the DO Cancer Fund. Go to docancerfund.org for more info and join me and a bunch of other folks October 6th at Pins in Studio City. And I'll be in L.A. that entire week doing my volume show Excuse me, guys, it's been a long day. My voice a little bit ripped up. Doing my volume show from L.A. that entire week, the week of October 2nd. So much going on, so much travel coming up, so many great things happening as we get into the last quarter coming up now of 2017, believe it or not. And as I always tell you, the interviews you hear on the Eddie Trunk podcast, almost all of these originate on my radio show, which is called Trunk Nation, and is heard live Monday through Friday on Sirius XM Radio Channel 106. The show is live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. It replays every night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and you can always listen whenever you want on the Sirius XM app. So here on the podcast, you're getting just the littlest of tastes of what happens on a daily basis on my radio show on Sirius XM. Hope you guys get on board and check me out on 106 if you have not already. And you can get involved and interact and call in and all that sort of good stuff. Of course, I got my terrestrial show on like 30 stations across the country, including some big ones, New York City, Boston, Milwaukee, Kansas City, on and on and on. Check my website, find a station near you and listen to that. That is pretty much wall-to-wall music, and I think you will enjoy that as well. So those are all the different ways to connect. Social media, at Eddie Trunk. Twitter, where I'm most active. Instagram, Facebook, all at Eddie Trunk. EddieTrunk.com is the website. When you find me on Facebook, make sure you find the fan page. And that's the one you'll see that I'm totally active on. I do not maintain the personal page anymore. So if you are of interest in the Facebook world, take a look there. Just had a great couple interviews that I did for Sirius XM for Town Halls with Alice Cooper and one with Deep Purple. Hope to bring those to you on future podcasts. But if you are a Sirius XM subscriber, hear them now on demand on the Sirius XM app. So yeah, long weekend coming up. I'm looking forward to a few days in Vegas. Like I said, my favorite city, place I'd love to move one day, although that's not happening anytime soon, but it was up to me, it would, especially after I just got my property tax bill here in New Jersey. Insanity. But looking forward to a few days of a break there, a little fun, a little relaxation before I kick right back into all sorts of stuff. October 22nd, I'm back in Tulsa, where I will be there for hosting a Warrant Firehouse show, and that'll be at the IDL Ballroom in Tulsa, again, the 22nd of October. A lot of people have been asking me about this show that's been scheduled in Illinois, which is called Rockin' Skull. And I've been asked constantly about that show from people in that area that may or may not be attending that event and asking me what I know about it, because apparently there's been a fair share of controversy about it, locations being moved, bands dropping on and off. I got to tell you, folks, with all of these festivals, and I'm not just taking a cop out here, just like the bands, I am booked on them to appear and host. So I don't have anything to do with putting them together or what happens at them. But I can tell you that that festival has been moved, and it's now in a place called Tremont, Illinois, at Diesel Dicks. That's the name of the venue that it's now moved to. So I don't know anything about the lineup. I don't know what they plan on doing with the lineup. I know there's been changes to it, but all I know is as long as it's happening, I am scheduled to be there and host it, and there is a new location, Tremont, Illinois, for Rock and Skull. Also, Parfest in Brookshire, Texas on November 11th, which I'm also scheduled to host with Don Dokken. And speaking of Texas, I was just in Houston a couple of weeks ago doing my radio show live from Houston in the House of Blues. And I want to send out my very best and my thoughts to all the folks in Houston just being devastated by this storm. It's absolutely incredible. I was just there. Some of the area that is being rocked by this storm is exactly where I was. And I've got some good friends there. And you guys, if you are in that area, I am thinking of you and wishing you the best, and may you stay safe and be safe. What else can I tell you? Yeah, so LA week, October 2nd for the radio show. And I can't, there's so much going on, I can't even really think of all of it. But I can tell you, as usual, keep an eye on my website, which is eddietrunk.com and the Trunk Report. can get signed copies either of my books there if you're interested. I just got new stock in. So if you're holding and waiting on your books, they will be in the mail to you shortly. You can order signed copies of either books. There's merch there, music news updated daily, all the stuff that you would want to know about in the world of rock. Just check it out at my website, eddietrunk.com. All right, so double dip this week. Two interviews for you coming your way. First up, we have an interview with Jerry Cantrell, which I did a couple of weeks ago. Jerry called in predominantly to talk football. He is doing a charity fantasy football channel on SiriusXM for a great cause, and also some auctions going on eBay of some cool rock memorabilia, all for a great cause. Jerry will tell us about that cause, and we'll talk a little football with football season around the corner with the leader of Alice in Chains, Jerry Cantrell. It was a fun conversation, and it was a conversation that made a lot of news because Jerry did say that Alice in Chains have an album coming very soon, and it sounds, and you can listen to it for yourself and figure it out, but it sounds very much like it's going to be one of these deals where they just drop the album out of nowhere with no advance warning. But see what you think. Jerry Cantrell coming up shortly. And the second interview of the show will be with Sully Erna, of course, of the band Godsmack. This one happened a few weeks earlier, and Sully talking about future plans with Godsmack and also a charitable thing that he was involved in as well. So great stuff. You'll enjoy both of these. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, Sully Erna of Godsmack. Two back-to-back interviews for you on this week's edition of the Eddie Trunk podcast. Speaking of news, I've got to address this as well. I talk about this all the time. It is a huge peeve of mine that the world we are in now, in the quote-unquote media, you know, you hear the term fake news a lot, and there is a lot of it in the world of rock music. And there are a lot of people that are just looking for clickbait and looking for headlines to get attention, and who erroneously take things out of context and put them all over the internet. And you have a ton of unbelievably green and unqualified people. I mean, the criteria for saying you're in media these days, I mean, you've got people running around who have a Facebook page or create this website out of nothing, and all of a sudden they're media, and bands are talking to them because many of the bands really need the attention and want the attention. And then what'll happen is somebody will do a story and say something that's a bit interesting, and then one website needs to pick it up and post it, and it just catches fire, and everyone just falls in line, and the story, by the time it gets out there, becomes something completely different and in a completely different context than it was originally intended. And I have run into this over the years. It's one of the biggest obstacles I have doing what I do. And I am grateful and blessed that I have the audience that I have, and so many people pay attention to the things that I say. It comes with having done this for now almost 35 years. And I am grateful for it. Do not get me wrong. And I'm appreciative when websites and news outlets cover my stories and post them. But something happened last week that was absolutely insane and lasted for 4 or 5 days all over the internet around the world. And it happened, originated in Houston, a couple of weeks ago when I was there, as I mentioned earlier, to do a broadcast. And I do, on my volume show, I do something called Free For All Friday, where on Fridays, all I do is take calls from the audience. And we talk rock music. We talk rumors. We talk speculation. We talk, as rock fans, things we'd like to see happen, stuff like that. So when I did Free For All Friday a couple weeks ago in Houston, I did it in the House of Blues, and I had a live audience in front of me. So I took also questions from people in the audience. One guy gets up and asks me about Rush, and he's talking about how he's a Rush fan, and he thinks they're done, and Neil is done playing, and what do I think could happen, and what would I like to see happen? So we're having this conversation as fans in purely hypothetical terms. And I said to the guy, what I hear rumors of and what I would like to see happen, and I must have said rumors twice, is Getty and Alex getting together and doing a band. And I went into this whole explanation of why I think that's viable. And I said, you know, maybe it'd be called Lee Lifeson and they get a drummer and they wouldn't call it Rush. And that's what I said. But it was all in the context of a hypothetical. And just like you say, what would you like to see AC/DC do? Well, maybe Brian Johnson is going to come back. We just saw him last week perform with Muse. That sent a shot across the bow. Some people may think Axl Rose is coming back. So, you know, that's what I do on radio, and that's what we do for fun. We are music fans. I never once, unless I know something is fact, say something is fact. So this exchange with a fellow Rush fan about Rush, for whatever reason, about 3 days later, got picked up by a couple of major rock websites. And I'm not saying these websites did anything wrong. To the contrary, I'm grateful that they covered and do cover what I do. And the initial postings about what was said and what I said about Rush were accurate. So I have no issue whatsoever with that. But then what happens is lesser websites and fan sites and every FM radio station in the country who has, you know, kids doing their websites to post news that they find took what I said and gave it a whole different context and life by taking a hypothetical and a rumor and generating headlines that said, Eddie Trunk says new Rush band being formed called Lee Lifeson. I mean, I saw looking for drummers. I mean, I saw the most insane things. Things completely out of context from what I said. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You want to talk about fake news and politics? It's rampant in the world of rock music. So all of a sudden, around the world, I am seeing my name attached to the announcement imminently of a new band with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. And it didn't matter how many times I refuted it and how many times I went on social media and said I never said this was fact, but it continued for days around the world, became a completely different story. Nobody taking the time to understand the context of what I said or that I said a rumor. It really was madness. And the Rush camp reached out to me about it, and I never actually ended up, at least at the time I'm doing this, talking to them directly. But the Rush guys are friends. I never meant any drama by this. The Rush management team are friends. I've done tons of things with them. And they're good people, and they understand the world we're in as far as the internet. So I don't think there's any real damage done. They get it. And they asked me if I would just simply post retraction from, you know, not retraction, but just more clarification, because this thing went so crazy. And I'm hoping that it, but I've even seen, like, people that know the band releasing a statement, it's not true. Well, I never said it was a done deal. I said that's what I think would be cool to happen, and I stand behind that. Now, how ironic would it be if it actually does happen? But I don't know. People just throw stuff out there. So that was my drama for the week. And again, just to clarify, so there is no confusion whatsoever. I never, ever said that this was a done deal. I simply said, Getty told me he wants to continue to play. Alex is continuing to do some things. Neil, in my view, is done, as many people feel. So maybe there's a band of some sort with Lee and Lifeson that gets put together. That would be cool. I hear that, you know, people tell me that drummers were calling me weeks ago before I said anything about auditions that they were looking for me to help them get. I mean, so it's just all so crazy. And Rush fans, God bless them, and I'm one, are unbelievably fanatical and, you know, jump at anything. So one other website dangles a carrot and the world went crazy in Rushland simply because of a conversation I had with a fellow Rush fan on my radio show talking about what we would like to potentially see happen with the band going forward. Anyway, I wanted to address that and clear that up because it took some of my week earlier this week to put out that fire. Anyway, let's take a break here and we will come back. First up, Jerry Cantrell, followed by Sully Erna. And in the coming weeks, I'll bring you Alice Cooper. I'll bring you Deep Purple. I'll bring you Dave Perner of Soul Asylum. Many more cool interviews to come. New podcasts every Thursday, podcast1.com and iTunes. Let's take this break. We'll come back. The leader of Alice in Chains, Jerry Cantrell, talking some football and talking, of course, some Alice in Chains next.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
So do you have a business that's hiring? Well, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Let me tell you about ZipRecruiter, because you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. That's right, one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place. And that one place is ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners of the Eddie Trunk Podcast can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/trunk, T-R-U-N-K. ZipRecruiter.com/trunk. One more time to try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/trunk.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey. Or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, we're back. It's Eddie Trunk, and with football season just around the corner, Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains joins me talking a little football, talking about some charitable stuff he's doing with fantasy football, which I admit I am not a fantasy football guy at all. But I know many people are, so you may find the fantasy thing interesting. But Jerry also has a cool auction going on, all for a very great cause. So without further ado, Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Jerry, how are you, man?
What's happening, dude? I'm good.
Good. Kevin Cronin from REO, who was just on his way out of here, said, make sure you say hi to Jerry.
Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah, he's a great guy, man. Great voice.
Yeah, he is. Still, after all these years, that's what I said to him. It's so many of those guys have been doing it for 40, 50 years, and it's not, they can't sing it anymore, but he can still belt it out.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Alice in Chains, I know you guys over the years have been on some interesting bills, but did you ever tour with REO Speedwagon?
We never did that, but in the early days, we had a pretty disparate, you know, group of folks that we, you know, we'd play with anybody, you know, when somebody would like cancel, like for an opener in Seattle, you know, we'd play with anybody from, you know, we played with everybody from Poison to Slayer to Iggy Pop to Extreme. We opened for Helix once, for God's sakes.
Wow, you got your heavy metal love on right there, man.
Yeah, dude, we did. Yeah, that was one of our first gigs with like a bigger band. It was, yeah, we opened up for those guys right in front of the Seattle Center. Yeah.
Did you when you were on bills like that back in the day? And of course, everybody knows Clash of the Titans. You guys did, but when you were on some of those bills, did you always go over, or were some of them really rough?
Well, you know, we always kind of took it as a challenge, you know, like playing maybe with a band that we didn't quite kind of fit with, you know what I mean? And it was always a challenge, and it was also a group of people that maybe might not be, they're not your fans, you know, so that we did a lot of gigs like that for the first couple of years that we were a band. And I think it made us a better band, because sometimes it was pretty rough, you know. Sometimes we were playing while things were being thrown and stuff was raining from the sky on us, you know. But that happened to us opening for Slayer at Red Rocks in Denver. It's a classic show. For our whole set, we basically had to dodge stuff for like 30 minutes or whatever while everybody was throwing stuff at us, and we kind of started throwing stuff back and continuing to play. I remember meeting some Slayer fans after that, and they were walking over to us. I'm like, oh, these guys are gonna kick our ass. And they're like, and they walked over and they're like, hey, you didn't give up, you didn't quit, I guess you're all right. So
yeah, and as I'm sure you well know, that's kind of commonplace with Slayer. I mean, not so much now. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. Like, in the last 10 years or so, not that Slayer is mellowed, but it seems like the audience is a little bit more objective. But for but earlier than that, I mean, it didn't.
Well, we're all getting older.
But I even see girls at Slayer shows. Like, I see women at Slayer shows now. Yeah. You never saw that before.
Yeah. But yeah, they've got a dedicated following for sure.
Yeah, but nobody opened for Slayer. I used to introduce Slayer when they played New York, and I was actually one of the people that played their records on my show in New York. And I remember Mike Piazza, the baseball player, is a good friend. He would come to the shows. He'd stand on the side of the stage, and he'd be like, dude, they're even booing you, and you actually play their records. I was like, yeah, but Mike, Slayer fans boo everything. It's kind of what you do.
Yeah. You know? And they're definitely a band you don't want to play after either. You know, they're one of a handful of bands, you know, that you just don't want to play after, you know, in my opinion. You
right,
know, they're
right.
Just, they're so great.
Well, before we talk a little, a few minutes on what you got going on as far as music is concerned, we want to mention something very cool that's happening, the Alice in Chains Fantasy Football League Draft and Charity Auction. And this is going to take place on Tuesday, September 5th, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports. And that is channel 210 on Sirius, channel 87 on XM, and of course on the Sirius XM app. And you can find the auction items at ebay.com/Alice-in-chains. Tell us a little bit about this, Jerry. Are you a big I imagine you're a big football fan and a big fantasy guy as well?
Yeah, you know, Mike and I have always been big football fans, and Mike actually kind of got me interested in fantasy football about 10 years ago, invited me to be in a league with him and some friends. And after doing that for a couple of years, it was really fun, you know, kind of opened up your eyes to other teams in the league rather than just your team, you know, and so you kind of got a wider scope of the NFL, and it was just kind of fun to do. And I thought, well, why don't we just do this for charity? We'll get a bunch of our friends in the music business, you know, some people in the sports world, you know, maybe in you know, actors and stuff too, and we'll do a charity league, and every year we'll try to raise money. And we'll give it away to the winner's charity of choice. So you still got something to fight for. This last year, of course, I won for the first time, by the way.
So wow.
Took me 8 years to be the champ, but I'm the champ this year. So we're giving our, so I'm choosing Music Cares and Music for Relief. We'll split the proceeds. Yeah.
And the Music for Relief, One More Light Fund in memory of Chester Bennington, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're actually making the donations in, the Music for Relief donation will be in Chester's name, and the donation to Music Cares will be in Chris's name. Yeah.
Since you are making those donations to both Chester and Chris, who we tragically lost recently, can you give us a little something on either of those guys? And I imagine with Chris especially, you had a huge history with.
Yeah, much you know, much closer and longer history with Chris for sure. But both of them, I you know, had the fortune to spend time with and be friends with and kind of and be around. And you know, they were you know, they're two of the finest human beings I know. You know, I've ever had the pleasure to know. So, you know, it is a huge loss. But you know, they both left a you know, some really amazing music behind, you know, and trying to do a little positive recognition for both of them. That's all, just making a donation. So,
well, it's very, very cool that you're doing that. ebay.com/Alice-in-chains for more information on the auction items. Off the top of your head, do you know what's up there as far as the auction items that are some of the marquee things right now?
I don't know what. Don't have the page in front of me. I know we got some stuff from Zach. We got a guitar from me, Duff Perlin, a bass. I think we have the last couple of years we've actually expanded outside the league to be able to. We've had a lot of friends donate stuff as well. I think Robert Downey Jr. Donated his Iron Man kind of little button or whatever that he signed.
Wow,
I forget what they call it.
That's huge, but, though, for fans of that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. We had Renner and Robert in the league 2 years ago, so it was kind of fun. We had a couple of Avengers in the league.
I got to ask you this, man. On fantasy football, I'm a huge football fan. First of all, who's your team? Who's your football team that you root for in the pros?
Seattle Seahawks. That's the hometown team,
right?
But I'm also old enough to have been a fan of football before we got the Seahawks. So I was a Steelers fan back then. So I still am. You know, I still love both the teams. So here's my
issue, because I'm a massive NFL guy and a massive New York Giants fan. That's my team, right? So I've never gotten into fantasy and really in any way. I've never been in a league, never done it. My friends do the drafting and all that. And I've never done it because – my thing about it is I have friends of mine that are in it, and they find themselves rooting against some of their own team and their players because they need to make these fantasy numbers. I'm like, are you guys out of your fucking mind? It's like there's no circumstance on the planet I could find myself rooting for somebody on the Cowboys as a Giants fan.
Yeah. Home team always comes first. Your team always comes first. Fantasy football comes second. But it is, you know, it is kind of an odd thing that you end up caring about a receiver on the Jacksonville Jaguars or whether the kicker for the Browns makes a couple of field goals, because your team is made up of players of all teams. You know, you have 16 players from various teams, and it's just kind of a, you know, it's a, for me, you know, being a huge fan of it, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. It just kind of makes you a little bit more aware of the whole league as a whole, you know, and I've been a fan. It's really the only sport I care about. So, you know, it's fun to do, and what we're doing here with it, you know, there's a lot of other folks that do the same thing, and I think it's great. You get to be your football fan nut. And at the same time, you get to actually do a little competition between your bros and raise some money for some good causes every year. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, it's absolutely huge. And I get all that. It's just for me, these TV shows come on and these radio shows come on, and I'm listening to them. And I'm listening to them talk about stats and stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not right. Oh, it's one of those fantasy shows. Like, oh, my God. But the thing I get about it is the fact that, like, for me, I watch the Giants. Those 3 hours a week are sacred for me, and I'll watch other games. Like, I'm with you. Football's my favorite sport, so football's the only sport I'll watch two other teams playing. You know, it doesn't have to be my team.
Yeah,
but
right.
It does keep you interested even in blowout games, right, because you're worried about and rooting for the outcomes of certain players versus what the total score is.
Yeah, well, blowout games are actually great for your players to be able to make points, because if the other team is up so much – and your guy's not having such a good day, once they pull their first string, they can start racking up points on the back end. So that's kind of nice too. They call it garbage time. The game's over. It doesn't matter, but your guy could still be, you know, getting a touchdown and 80 yards or whatever, and that all counts, you know. So that's it's fun. It's a it's a goofy, geeky thing to do, I guess.
Right.
There's a huge community that has a lot of fun doing it, you know, and I've been really fortunate also to be kind of become friends with a lot of the guys who kind of do that, like John Hansen and Michael Fabiano and Matt Barry and Rich Eisen. You know, I mean, a lot of the guys in that sort of world. So it's been really fun getting to know those guys and also picking their brain because those guys are like the top guys doing that. You know, so yeah.
So the draft for this year is going to take place on September 5th. People are going to be able to hear the draft live as it happens on the Sirius XM Fantasy channel. Is that the idea?
That's right. We did it last year. We're going to do it. We're going to do another live draft this year as well. So Sirius has really stepped up and got behind us and helped us kind of, you know, get a bigger platform to kind of get it out to people, let them know what we're doing, and help us in the process of you know, raising some funds for charity. So
going into this draft, Jerry Cantrell, the football GM, if you can pick three guys that nobody else has that you could start your team with, who's the three guys you're picking?
Well, the last couple of years with fantasy football, the old kind of the old way to do it was really loading up on running backs, and that's a really key position. So you would probably spend your first couple of picks on some decent, really strong running backs, you know, and but the receiver position has become a little bit more important too. So the last couple of years, I've actually been going towards receivers. So I'm usually picking like Julio Jones or. I want like Julio Jones or Antonio Brown, you know, like a number one, the top receiver in the league.
Whoa. Now the Giants fan in me is going to start chiming in there because, you know, we've got an elite receiver.
He's in there too. He's in there too. He's in there too. Those three guys are the top guys for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
But the Seahawks fan in you, do you just because you're a Seahawks fan, do you take Russell Wilson if he's there, or you can't play that hometown allegiance thing?
Well, there's you can really mess yourself up by doing that. I have this conversation with Duff McKagan every year, and he never listens to me. He always ends up with five Seahawks on his team, and he loses every year. And I'm like, dude, get one guy on your team. But if the Seahawks have a bad game, all your guys have a bad game, you know. So just have one guy that has a bad game. You get your homer pick. I usually have a Steeler. I got a Seahawk, you know, so I'm good. But you definitely want to spread it around to different teams. Otherwise, if you're too heavy on one team, you're dependent on what that performance is, and it can affect like half your team if the team has a bad game. So,
see, I know why I can't do this now, because I'm such a homer. I couldn't do it. Like the draft happens, I'm even though I know Eli's not the best quarterback, I'm taking him. It's like it's ridiculous. I can't bring myself to root for, especially if it would be. Under no circumstances could I take anybody from the Cowboys, the Redskins, or the Eagles, because I have to root against them violently every week. So
it's a bit of a confliction.
I can't. It doesn't work for me. I got the page up, by the way, for the Alice in Chains charity auction, which is on eBay. You have some incredible stuff here. You've got a your own guitar signed. You've got stuff from The Cult. You've got a Guns N' Roses one you mentioned. Deftones.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Stone Sour, the Zakk Wylde guitar, which is one of his own line that he came out with. They even got some country stuff in here.
You can take a guitar lesson for me, for that matter, if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
Want to donate some money, I'll give you a guitar lesson.
Jerry Cantrell, private guitar lesson. That's up to $3,150 with 49 bits.
Our good friend Elton John came through about a week and a half ago and donated his personal private box to a couple of people to come see his show in his private box.
Wow. Yeah, I see that on here now, too. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is very, very cool. Blue Man Group stuff, and you've got all sorts of cool Linkin Park autographed tour poster. So Vinnie Paul autographed drum head. So check Anthrax, our mutual buddy Scott has got some stuff up there. So again, go to the eBay page and you can help out that way as well. eBay.com/Alice-in-Chains. Jerry, before I let you roll, what can you tell us on the music side? You guys working on music?
Yeah, we're in the process of cobbling together some tunes, and hopefully in the very near future we'll have something out for you guys. Yeah,
you got a target date? You want to get it out this year? You thinking next year?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. When we're ready, we'll let you know.
All right.
And we are in the process of working on stuff. Yeah.
So have you started recording, or is it just writing at this point?
I'm not going to say.
Okay. Well, you know, I get that because I do like this trend that some bands are going down where they just kind of drop stuff on you. They don't let you know every little gory detail, and we've seen that happen a few times. A few bands have done that recently that I think has been pretty cool.
I will say we got a few things brewing. So
All right.
It probably won't be too much longer. Yeah.
And live shows, anything lined up, or that's to come as well?
Yeah, that's probably the part of the whole package. But again, you know, we get one step at a time. We can't go out and do that until we make a great record, in our opinion, and then hopefully a few other people like it too.
And the last thing, you know, I love your solo records. Is there a side of you that would like to do another one of those at some point?
Yeah, probably. You know, down the road, I wouldn't rule it out. I just, you know, Alice has always been my number one concern since I started the band with the guys, and you know, that's kind of where my heart's always been. So it takes plenty to one band's plenty.
You know? Yeah,
you know what I mean, one band's plenty of attention, and you know, this is where my heart's always been, and you know, still happy to be here working with the guys, moving forward, making music, you know.
Well, that's refreshing to hear in a day and age when every guy seems to be in five bands at the same time, that you're happy to just hang your hat on one.
I just don't have the energy for that. I hats off to all those guys. I think I'm a little too lazy. Yeah, one band's enough. Yeah, for me. Yeah, I'm good.
Well, listen, man, good luck with your football draft and this auction. It's great stuff that you're doing, and I look forward to hearing the new music, and maybe when that's ready, we'll get to spend some time again.
Cool. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks for helping us get the word out.
Absolutely, yeah. Jerry. Take care, man. Thanks for calling.
All right, dude.
See you, man. All right, we're back. And, I'm back. That was Jerry Cantrell. We thank Jerry Cantrell for some time. We're going to hit a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to welcome as our second interview this week on the Eddie Trunk podcast from Godsmack, Sully Erna. That's up next.
This is the Eddie Trunk podcast.
Hey, you guys watching A&E's Emmy-nominated groundbreaking docuseries, Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath? Check it out. It's returned for season 2 with new episodes Tuesdays, 9, 8 central on A&E. Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath, follows Leah along with high-level former Scientology executives and church members as they delve deep into shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassing experiences by those who have left the church and spoken publicly about these experiences. This season, Leah Remini continues her quest to give a voice to victims of the Church of Scientology. It's riveting stuff. The series also explores accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practices. Leah Remini helping people take action, turning survivors into fighters, revealing truths, and seeking justice. Check it out. Catch up on the old episodes on the A&E app and at aetv.com. And be sure to check out new episodes again every Tuesday, 9, 8 central on A&E. Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath, Season 2, happening now.
HBO's Game of Thrones is back for its 7th season. Winter is finally here, and so are the White Walkers. Will the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros survive the threat from the North, or will they fall in the looming war for the Iron Throne? After you're done watching an episode, join the discussion here on the Game of Thrones After Show on Podcast One. Every week, our hosts discuss each episode in detail, from shocking twists to fan theories, as the series chronicles the violent struggle among the realm's noble families for ultimate power. Join the fray every week on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
TrueCar, you know the deal about TrueCar. Maybe something a lot of people don't know. And that is, using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy new or used, you can get upfront pricing, information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars, and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. And who doesn't want that? There's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. You'll see what other people paid for the car you want. so you can now see what a fair price is and feel confident. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the new or used car you want. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
How are you, Sully?
Hey, Eddie, what's happening?
How you been, bro?
Oh, I'm good, man.
Got a little time off. Are you home or are you on the road right now?
Time off for me is dangerous, so I try to just stay busy even when I'm not on the road. But no, we've just been doing a handful of, you know, one-off shows just to kind of stay tuned up and pay a few bills this year. But the real touring doesn't start till next year because we're not going to drop a record till probably April.
You're talking about with Godsmack now, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. I am doing a few last shows with the solo thing to wrap that up, which ends. I'm going out. It's pretty much Europe, I think, mid-September through first week in October. So I have a few weeks left of dates to do with that. And then I go right into the studio to start recording the new Godsmack record.
Well, that's something that a lot of people will be excited about. You know, man, before we talk about your solo thing and also this very great cause that you're doing with Mark Wahlberg, just speaking about Godsmack for a second, you know, it's crazy for me because I've been doing this for so long. I still think of Godsmack as a relatively new band, even though you guys have been doing it for a long time, but that's how long I've been doing it. But it's really cool for me because I'm out there at these festivals from time to time. It's really cool for me to see how this band has connected with people over the years and how the music you made with Godsmack has really grown. I mean, you're out there headlining some really big festivals, bringing a huge stage show. It's got to feel really good for you because there's a lot of bands that came out around the time Godsmack did. And honestly, they're off the radar. They really didn't maintain like you guys did. So talk a little bit about that. It's got to make you feel real good to see what the band's standing is now after all these years.
Yeah, it does. You know, I mean, it's certainly a badge of honor that we wear proudly because, you know, this band worked really hard and developed very organically from the beginning, like, you know, every other band did that has had, you know, some decent longevity. And you know, it was just a process, just like anything else, you know. But I think the thing that we're the most proud of is that we did go through the turmoil times. We went through some really, you know, moments that should have broke this band up, you know, and went through all the stuff that's so cliche to hear about, you know, the drinking and the partying and, you know, and the hangovers and the fights and the abandonment, you know, everything else that you could think of. You know, the band went through it, and there was so many times where we were touring on the road for so long that, you know, things weren't really good. And yet you're out there being a robot and a slave to the grind. And you know, I remember being out there. I didn't talk to my band for 2 weeks at one point, and we were, you know, doing five shows a week. And I would literally wait for them to go on stage after the intro, and then I'd walk out and do the show. And I'd get off stage before they ended the song and get on the bus and go. And it was like crazy. But you know, long story short, the good thing is that we recognized it. You know, we knew that there was a problem. We knew that we were overexhausted and we were working too much at one point, and we were relying on a lot of those things for medicinal purposes and stuff. And then we went and got help, you know, and we got help for the band. It wasn't so much about the addiction part of it. It was about the brotherhood, you know, why we do this in the first place. And so we've gotten over a lot of those mountains, you know, and now we're to the way on the other side of it. And the band's getting along better now than ever. And that's, I think, the part we're the most proud of, you know, and it takes a lot of work. And I just think a lot of bands that go through those phases, which you do, it's kind of like marriage. You know, some of them just don't have the patience or the tolerance to be able to do the work it takes to get to the other side of it. But there is another side of it. You just have to endure, you know, that learning curve and everything else that comes along with, you know, being successful in this industry.
You know, you talk about what you went through there for a period with Godsmack where you would not talk to the guys for 2 weeks and you'd walk out and be off the stage before they even ended. I think a lot of fans, a lot of fans would be surprised at how much that is the norm with a lot of bands for a really long time. I mean, you guys went through it and came out the other side, as you said, but there are bands that have done that. People would be shocked at for decades that's how they exist. And that's just, I mean, the road is a grind to begin with, as you mentioned. It's just when you're like that, I imagine it's just got to be just, it takes so much of the fun out of it, not having a brotherhood out there.
Yeah, and even with the crew, you know, it's really important, I think, that people select, especially if there's young bands out there that are on their first, second record and they're still in this part of figuring it out, it's really important you select people that you care about and that feel like family. You know, I know bands that are out there, I won't mention any names, but they treat their crew awful. They don't even know. I know guys that have, you know, don't even know their guitar tech's name. Like, that's insane to me, because this is the only people that you have out there, you know. You rely on each other, and you have to have a piece of home with you. If you're going to live on the road, you have to bring things and some kind of support system with you, especially in the young days, because you don't have the budget. You don't have, you know, that kind of freedom to be able to, you know, take luxury, some kind of luxury with you, whether it's pieces of your, you know, something for your dressing room, or being able to hire friends or family to be able to work for you. So we were kind of, you know, ahead of that from the beginning. We I don't know if it's just something on, I've noticed the East Coast, West Coast mentality is a little bit different when it comes to this kind of thing, but there's a real pride here in Boston and New England. There's a certain kind of loyalty and kind of silent honor system that happens amongst friends and family, and people stick together here, you know? So from the beginning, we kind of groomed a lot of our friends and people that we, you know, had grown up with to be our drum techs and our guitar techs or our lighting guys or whatever. And as the band grew, you know, they went from selling T-shirts to learning how to set up a drum set, or to learning how to, you know, we'd send them to go learn how to run a lighting board and whatever. And now some of these guys have gone on to become some of the best techs out there. And so it's nice, you know, so at least we have that as well.
When you said earlier that time off for you is a dangerous thing, were you alluding to, you know, battles with substances and falling off the wagon, or was it something else?
Yeah, well, I've never been on the wagon. I never had to go to, like, a rehab or anything like that. I don't know. For me, it was like I wanted to make sure that I didn't feel that I didn't have control of that, and so I always kind of did it on my own. But I don't really party like I used to, that's for sure. I mean, I may have a glass of wine occasionally, things like that. Shannon's sober now. Tony's been sober, you know. But it's just one of those things that, yeah, you know, when I get into that and I fall into that pattern, it's all bad.
So it's harder. Like, so Sully, it's harder for you when you're home versus when you're on the road? Because for most bands, the bad habits and temptations are on the road, right?
Yeah, no, it's the opposite. But here's the thing. So, again, you know, you're kind of opening up a rabbit hole that we don't probably have time for. But for me, what it is that, you know, you can get lost in that world. You know, it's another thing that you have to learn out there. You know, it's a facade. You know, a lot of this stuff for me, it's not that it's not real. It's just that it's not really life. It's not reality. You know, it just because you start to become successful in a band doesn't necessarily mean that that's, you know, who you are and what you do. You can get really caught up in the praises and the ups and downs of all the road. And so out there, it's kind of like superhuman, you know. Then you come home and everything stops on a dime, and you find yourself chewing your fingernails going like, what do you do? Because
right
out there, you know how it is. You've been around it enough.
Yeah.
It's press, it's photos, it's interviews, it's meet and greets, it's shows, it's catering, it's this, it's that. And then all of a sudden they go, okay, tour's over. And you go home and you're sitting on your couch and it's way too quiet. And you're like, I need to call a girl or go out and have some drinks with my friend or like something, because, you know, you're kind of freaking out. And so that's the part for me that, like, I don't like to sit still too long, because I don't want to fall into the habits of just boredom taking over. And so I stay busy and I write music, or I tour on the solo thing, or I produce with other bands, and whatever it takes, you know, to just kind of like not be sitting here.
Do you still live in Boston in the area?
I do, yeah. I'm about 30 minutes north of Boston.
So you still have a lot of your friends that you grew up with and people like that around nearby you?
I do, you know. Some of these guys have been in my life for well over 25 years, you know. some of them aren't around anymore, but the ones who are, you know, are there for a reason. You know, they've earned their my trust and loyalty and things like that because we've been through many wars and weathered many storms together, and there's a lot of history there. And so,
yeah,
they've stuck by.
And that's a good thing.
Well,
that, yeah, the reason why I ask is because that's I think that's a really good thing to kind of keep you grounded and keep you in your lane. Because even for what I do, I have that. I mean, I have a couple close friends that I grew up with that couldn't give a shit that I was on TV or that I'm on the radio or anything to do with music or whatever. It's just like when we get together, none of that stuff even comes up. It's a connection at a whole different level. And I think that's a really helpful thing to have, you know, and I was just wondering if that was still the case with you.
Yeah, it really is. It's probably the most important thing for me because, you know, I don't come from a big family either. So I never had that. I didn't, you know, sit at a Thanksgiving table with, you know, six brothers and sisters and a bunch of aunts and uncles and all that stuff. I mean, it was okay. It was, you know, it was important, the people that I had in my life. And, but my friends, you know, the people that I've kind of grown up on the streets with and got into trouble with and all that stuff, it's all come full circle. And yet we're still living within miles of each other, you know. I mean, some of these guys that are in my life, one of my best friends I've known for 32 years, whatever it's been now. And that's like, you know, irreplaceable to me.
Yeah.
So those kind of things, you know, are critical for me to continue to do what I do, because without a great support system, you know, it's a pretty lonely place to be. People, you know, see that 1 hour that you're on stage or whatever, and it just feels like, you know, you can levitate. I mean, to them, it looks like, you know, the most amazing thing, the most amazing lifestyle you can live. But they forget that there's 23 other hours in the day that you're traveling and you're by yourself. And so to me, you know, a really great support system and having close friends and people that you care and love about it is, you know, probably the most important thing.
It's Eddie Trunk talking with Sully Erna for a bit. For info on Sully, there's the website sully.erna.com and also godsmack.com, of course, for information about Godsmack, who Sully said they're ramping up, getting ready for a record. There's one Godsmack show on the books right now. You're doing a show in PA, I see on your website, in Bethlehem, actually.
That's the last one.
And that's the last one. And then you've got a European tour with your solo thing, which for people that have not seen or haven't followed what you're doing outside of Godsmack, simply under your own name, it's a big decompress. It's a big difference than the big bombastic heavy rock show with flames shooting up and everything. That's got to be a nice change of pace for you, too, to be able to have those two worlds to walk in.
Yeah, it's good. You know, to me, everything's about balance now. You know, I've learned that I have to have both to be whole. You know, I need to be this in order to be that. And so, you know, Godsmack is that, it's the big, you know, monster. It's the thing that I can kind of release all the demons in a more vocal, visible way and aggressive. And it's kind of, it's like the 5-year-old jumping up and down and stomping his feet and crying for the cookie, you know, where the other thing is, it's more of the seductive side. It's more of a, but it's more, you know, organic and earthy and mystical. And it's just, for me, it's another side. It's another style of music I also enjoy playing. You know, another thing that happens for me when I get older is that I'm not that young, angry guy anymore that I was when I first put Godsmack together. I was going through a lot of stuff then, you know, bad breakups and battling a lot of different things. And I was angry, you know, I was young, I was inexperienced, and all these problems that we have from our childhoods through, you know, relationships or drugs and alcohol, whatever, all that stuff kind of comes out and release the demons, and it comes out in a very aggressive, loud way. And of course, growing up with Zeppelin and Sabbath and Rush and Aerosmith and Judas Priest and all these bands that were hard rock and metal, it's no wonder that Godsmack, you know, had a more of a hard rock edge to it like that and loud. But I've been a musician my whole life, and so there's a lot of times where I just sit at the piano or with an acoustic guitar and I write other songs. And a lot of those songs come out real beautiful to me, but I just know that it's not quite right for Godsmack.
Right.
So I put them to the side, and then when I have some time, I record them, and, you know, and that's what I've released. And it was very personal. It wasn't really, for me, I didn't care about critics. I don't care about number one singles. I don't care if the record sold one album. It was a very personal record for me, and I just, you know, enjoy different instruments and things like that and composing different styles of music. So it helps me grow as a musician. And then when I come back to Godsmack, I have some more tools to work with and try to get some more originality out of that music.
Sully's latest solo album, for people that want to check it out, is called Hometown Life, and that is available now. And before I let you go, bro, I wanted to talk to you about, speaking of addiction and things like that, you're working with another Boston guy in Mark Wahlberg, the Mark Wahlberg Youth Foundation. Talk a little bit about that, because it has to do with opioid addiction, right?
Yeah. You know, I met Mark a while back. I think it was in 2000 when we were touring with Limp Bizkit over in Europe, and he popped in the dressing room one day, you know, and he was kind of still fresh into just starting his acting career. He's doing well, but he's just still fairly new. And then over the years, we kind of bumped into each other a couple times here and there at a Patriots game or whatever, and just kept in touch. And he's always been a really cool guy, and he's a fan of the band, and I've been a huge fan of him. And through a couple of mutual friends, I met his brother, Jim, who runs the whole Youth Foundation. And he invited me, you know, he had heard some of the soul stuff, and he goes, listen, you got to come see what we do. And invited me to this arena in Lowell, Massachusetts. And I walked in, and I remember the first thing I seen, I looked, you know, he took me in the backstage way as we came into the arena, like side stage. I looked to my left, and in the whole loge section from the floor all the way up to the balcony was just filled with, you know, women and men that were sitting there holding a photo of their child, just real still and somber looking. And it just sent a chill up my spine, because I go, oh, my God, like, is this arena full of all these people that have lost their kids to, you know, to opioid addictions and stuff like that? And it kind of just, you know, it left me breathless for a minute. And then, of course, they play this intro and they do this whole piece where the arena was filled with high school and elementary school kids and stuff, you know, to bring up the awareness level about making sure that they understand that being drug free is up to them. It's, you know, it's not something we're battling, but it's not going to go away. And it's up to us to turn it, you know, turn away from it. But so, you know, and it's pretty intense. And this, you know, they're showing real live overdoses and all that stuff. And by the end, it has a bit more of an up-tempo feel, and they bring out, you know, live bands and things like that. So that's kind of what these events are about. They travel around and they bring up the awareness of the opiate addiction and heroin and everything else that's out there, and pills and stuff, and how it starts. Sometimes it's just through someone getting a surgery, and doctors are just a bit careless about what they prescribe. And next thing you know, you're, you know, addicted to these kind of pills, and it kind of leads you down that road from there. But anyways, so long story short, again, he came to me and he just said, you know, this song is really kind of hits home, and, you know, we should kind of do a collaboration. And he connected me with one of his directors, and we did a video for it, you know, based on someone losing someone to an overdose. And from there, you know, we're just trying to, I guess, become more visible about this whole thing and this crazy epidemic that's kind of, you know, taking over this country right now. And for me, it was real personal, because the hub of it, we found out, has come through Lawrence, Massachusetts, where the cartel has moved in and everything. It's become like the hub of all the heroin that's being dealt throughout New England and
wow,
parts of the country. And so that's where I grew up and, you know, was born and raised. And so for me, it was a no-brainer to get involved with them. Great bunch of guys, and they really spend, I mean, Jim lives and breathes and eats and sleeps this stuff and dedicated his whole, all his time to it. So, you know, hopefully we can just help make a difference and, you know, keep the awareness up and just introduce kids to a different side.
Is there any website or anything people can go to learn more about this and get more information? Is there a place we should send them?
Yeah, don't you have it?
I'm scrolling through the press release to see if there's a web address, but I didn't. I mean, I know I see your. Oh, here we go. Mark Wahlberg, youthfoundation.org. There you go. Or recoverycentersofamerica.com. Either of those addresses to learn more information. I think that's awesome that you're doing that, man. That's very good stuff, both you and Mark and the whole team working on that. Hey, before I let you go, I got to ask you one thing. We'll end this on a much lighter note. You mentioned a Patriots game that you went to. Now,
Yeah. Now
I'm curious. I've always been curious about this, because I am a massive New York Giants fan. That's my team I grew up with my whole life, right? It's where I'm from.
I know where you're going with this, by the way.
No. Here's what I got to ask you, and I'm not even busting balls. I found this out recently, and I was really sort of shocked by this. Patriots fans, by and large, hate the Giants more than the Jets.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I think so.
Because of the two Super Bowls.
No, I don't think it's that. I think this goes beyond us and beyond that those years. I think this goes back, because even the Red Sox and the Yankees, you know how long that's gone on for. I mean, ever since Babe Ruth, you know, got traded, went to the Yankees, like, that's just been this unbelievable, like, crazy, you know, that's kind of, I think, where it all derived from. So I think Boston and New York has just always had this rival thing.
Yeah, but I understand but the Jets, they're in your division. I mean, I obviously and I'm not a Jets fan.
Don't get me wrong, we hate the Jets too.
Yeah, I mean, but the Jets are like an annoying gnat to you. You just have to flick them away. I mean, they've been nothing forever. So that's not even. But they're a division rival. Like, for me, my whole focus of sports hatred is the Eagles, the Redskins, and by far the Cowboys at number one. They're in my division. They're rivals. I hate them. I found this out recently. I was shocked by it because I'll give you a quick story. I was with my family at Universal a few weeks ago on vacation with my kids and stuff. And I had a Giants hat on, and I'm walking by, and a guy walks by me in a Patriots jersey. And as he gets a step by me, I just hear him go, "Fuck the Giants," right? In Universal, right? And it took me a second. I turned around, I looked, and I just yelled back at him, 18-1, bitch, 18-1.
Oh, my God, it's so good. And you know what? I was at that Super Bowl, and it was brutal. I thought I was going to have a stroke that game.
Well, I was at the second one. I was at the second one in Indy. But I don't have any sort of real issue with the Pats at all, maybe because we won the two Super Bowls. But even if we lost them, I have no issue with the Pats. But I was really surprised at how much venom comes back at Giants fans. I would think the team you hate in New York is the Jets. They're in your division.
Let me just say this. This is what I think, and this is in defense of the Giants. I don't have a problem either. I have some real hardcore knucklehead friends that are just that. They are what they are, right? They construction, crack Budweiser's at 5 o'clock, and like just hate everything that isn't New England. And so, you know, and that's what it is, right? But I really do think it's more about the Jets. But to them, some people just have the blinders on, and all they see is the NY. And so it's anything New York, because it's the Yankees, it's the Jets. So why not throw the Giants in there, because they right. wear the big NY on their helmet.
Blue too, and right? red, green and white, what's the difference?
But,
you know, screw them all.
Real quick, I was at that Super Bowl, right? And then we were down to the wire, if you remember. And then we had Eli Manning in the pocket, and we were pulling him down, and as soon as they grab his jersey, we know that once he hits the ground and he's sacked, the game's over. So me and my drummer Shannon, we're jumping up and down, we're hugging each other, and as we're hugging each other, there's two Giant fans behind us. We hear one of them go, "Uh-oh," and I go, "What do you mean?" And I push Shannon away, like, "Don't hug me, what do you, you know?" And I look back at them, I'm like, "What does uh-oh mean?" And as I look, you know, he got out, and then of course from there,
right,
you know, the rest with the catch off the helmet and everything else, right? So I go, oh, my God, right? But I will say that you guys beat us. And on the way out, the New York Giants fans were super cool. If that was us, they were all like, "Oh, man, sorry. You know, that's a tough break." Like, they were really cool about it. And I thought to myself at that point, I go, you know what? Boston are way more dicks than New York. We would have badgered everybody in there if we would have won that game. Even if we had that perfect season and should have been cool about it to just wear that badge, right? There's no way Boston fans would have done that. They would have been like, "Fuck you guys." it's crazy. But for whatever it's worth, there really is. Again, it comes back to that pride, that honor thing. I've never seen, and it's not because I'm prejudiced towards the place I grew up, I've never seen more dedicated, loyal sports fans than in New England. It's crazy here. Like, they really, it's hardcore.
See, all I care about
Boston or nothing.
Yeah, all I care about it, nothing I hate more than front runners. So I have utmost respect for people who live and die, sink and swim with their team through good and through bad. And if that, you know, and that's, I have nothing but respect for that. Real quick, because I got to end, because I got to take a break. But I was at the second Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and I had the opposite thing. That's the only Super Bowl I ever went to in my life. But the Giants fans are all happy and celebrating. I'm I'm like, Tom Brady has the ball with like a minute left. What are you guys out of your mind? And that last play of the game, he floated that thing into that end zone. I mean, that was, I mean, a fingertip away from being a completion. So it's incredibly gut-wrenching. But again, I was surprised. I didn't realize that. I didn't expect, like, as a Giant fan, like, the Patriots, I don't even think of. I mean, they don't affect my world all year one way or the other. The only way they're a factor is if we play in the Super Bowl. And yeah, we're 2-0 in that department, but I don't look at it that way. Like, whereas the Cowboys, when I even see anybody wearing a Cowboys hat, I clench up. I can't even look at it. It's sick. Yeah. So it's like, it's a different thing. But listen, man, when you get to New York anytime, we don't have to talk about sports if you don't want to, but come in and sit in with me.
I love it. Are you kidding me? Yeah, anytime, man.
Come sit in. We'll talk music. We'll talk sports. We'll talk whatever. I'd love to have you on and in the studio when you get some time. Best of luck with these solo dates and the solo record. And also congrats on working with Wahlberg on this foundation. It's great stuff, man.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Sully.
You too, Eddie. Take care.
Man. Well, my thanks to Sully Erna, doing some good charitable stuff as well, talking Godsmack, and appreciate him checking in. Again, the interviews you hear originate on my radio show, which is daily on Sirius XM 106 volume, live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, replay every night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, on demand as well on the Sirius XM app. You get a little taste here on the podcast each week of what I do on a daily basis on the Volume Show. Get on board and hope you join me for that. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you to Cantrell. Thank you to Sully Erna. I'll see you guys next week for another all-new podcast, new every Thursday, podcast1.com and iTunes. Don't forget, go to amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. See my Amazon storefront. Start there. Look at items I've handpicked that you might be interested in, and then continue your shopping from that page. amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Thanks to Katie. Thank you guys for listening. See you next Thursday for another all-new episode.
Hey humans, David Smalley here from the Dogma Debate Podcast, right here on Podcast One, where we talk about all the things you're not supposed to discuss at work: religion, politics, abortion, racism, slavery,
and that's only when we open the Bible.
We discuss Islam, Islamophobia.
What does that even mean?
We chat with vegans, animal rights activists, and even visit factory farms to see it for ourselves. I invite people from multiple backgrounds to convert me into their worldview. But as long as they're okay with being respectfully challenged,
you better bring your evidence.
And I never lose sight of how both the left and the right are seeming to lose their minds. So basically, we're solving all the world's problems right here on Dogma Debate.
And you've been missing it.
Watch our 360 virtual reality videos on the Podcast One app and download Dogma Debate on iTunes, Stitcher, or podcast1.com.